afternoon, friends. Welcome to another program of the Grace Hour podcast. For those of you who are new to the program, we are a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us to learn about our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Ronaldo Brown. I'm in studio with Pastor Shabelli, and we're discussing warfare this week. We've been talking about warfare in the family, warfare on the job, and by that I mean spiritual warfare, and also spiritual warfare in our relationships. And today, we're talking about spiritual warfare against the gospel. And that might be the one that most folks don't know about. Even the church, in some respects, is maybe asleep at the switch. Pastor Shabelli, perhaps we're not so keen on the warfare that's against the gospel.
Well, think about it today and think about the penetration, the advance of religious movements around the world. You think about how many Buddhists there are, how many Muslims there are, how many so-called Christians that are not born again, Orthodox people that there are, how many atheists there are, how many agnostics. And you can see, in regards to the gospel, maybe one out of 10 people is born again, one out of 10 is saved. So it's really interesting. And sometimes because we live in America and there is so much of the gospel, there's churches everywhere, there's gospel messages, there's radio, there's television, we don't really understand what is actually going on when you bring the gospel and the warfare against it. I can remember at times going to countries, I'm talking 40 years ago, currently the maybe the situations are still the same, where you would give out a gospel tract or a Bible and you'd be jailed. Wouldn't take you more than a day or two.
Wow. You know?
And that happened in a number of countries. I won't mention them now. Seven of them, eight of them. Actually, one time even in America, which was really interesting to me. You know, you can't talk about Christ. This is mall property, you know. And I really like have a problem with that sometimes, you know. Like I get a little reactionary to those kind of things, whatnot. But there's going to be warfare against the gospel because it's the glorious gospel. We see this mentioned twice.
Okay.
Be our subject tonight in Bible school, the glorious gospel. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3, we'll start. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, so who's doing the hiding? Satan is doing his best to hide the glorious gospel.
Yes.
He might even let some gospels get out
because
they're not gospels that reveal the person of Christ or the work of the cross, the finished work. In whom the God of this world, but if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So their minds have been blinded, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And we see something similar in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. According, Paul says to Timothy, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So God is committed to the church and to the individual believer, this glorious gospel, committed to our trust, committed to us. Why? Who's going to bring the gospel if it isn't other human beings? Human beings are going to bring the gospel. We would love to say, oh, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus just portrayed the gospel in bright letters in the dark of night and everybody could see it around the world so we would have no responsibility to do anything about it. But he has committed this glorious gospel to our trust. He's given it to us as the church and as individual believers. And really, this is so important and so key. And I love how he calls it the glorious gospel. Why? Because it reveals the person of Christ and the work of the cross. That's the glory of God. If a church or a Christian does not reveal the person of Christ or the finished work of the cross, there's no glory. It's glory be to man. Glory be to some religious movement. Glory be to something other than the person and the work of God. And I think this is so key, the person and the work. So we've got the person, we've got the work, and we've got the message. And the message is the person and the work. The message is not money. The message is not miracles, and God provides, and God does miracles. I understand that. The message is not a denominational message, denominationalism, but the message is the person of Christ, not man, and the work of the cross, not works, not law.
Okay.
So anything other than that is not, I'll repeat it, is not the glorious gospel. It is not. Because it doesn't reveal the person of Christ, his character, nature, the 26 attributes and variations of the attributes of God. This is his person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is the person of Christ. We beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. John 1:14 through 18. We beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. So if it's not the person of Christ and it's not the work of the cross, then it's man and what man does. Mm-hmm. And this is really what Satan has elevated. He wants to elevate. He's not going to maybe attack the gospel the way we think he would, but he will, you know, he will elevate man instead of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it could even be Christian men, a pastor, a so-called apostle, something like that. We have so many strange things going on today, but he elevates a man and what a man has done or is doing. And that brings down the person of Christ and the work of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he elevates baptism. And that's not the way you get saved. Maybe he elevates signs and wonders. That's not how you get saved. Maybe he elevates keeping the law. That's not how you get saved. So the glorious gospel proclaimed by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, the glorious gospel has been committed to us.
Mm.
So what are we proclaiming? Are we proclaiming all these things that there's so many things that are being proclaimed today? But we are here to proclaim the person of Christ
mm-hmm.
and the work of the cross. And yes, there'll be warfare against that because Satan hates the person of Christ and Satan hates the work of the cross.
Mm.
Very simple to see that in the scriptures. He doesn't just hate one. He doesn't just hate the work of the cross because the work is only amazing, glorious, and great because of the person who did the work. So he's attacking the person of Christ and the work of the cross. This is Satan's strategy. And he comes around it and does it many different ways. Okay? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So he's just trying to hide the person of Christ and the work of the cross. So he will elevate man. He will elevate works. He will elevate law. He will elevate all kinds of things other than the person of Christ
mm-hmm.
and the work of the cross. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Yes.
What does that mean? Lifting up his person and lifting up is the work of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why it's called glorious gospel. If it's not the person of Christ and the work of the cross, it's not glorious at all. There's no glory in it. Because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 through 31, no flesh can glory in his presence. So man is not glorified. What man does is not glorified.
Mm-hmm.
Only when man reveals the person of Christ and the work of the cross, then man is doing really what he's been called to do, to proclaim the glorious gospel.
Wow.
And it's the gospel that gets the glory. It's not the person who proclaims it. You know, we are sinners saved by grace. And thank God we have Jesus Christ living in us.
Mm.
But who am I? What am I if it's not for the person of Christ? What am I if it's not for the work of the cross?
Mm-hmm.
So what's elevated today, it seems, in many parts of the world is men and what they do.
Yes.
This is a sad thing, men and what they do. Like, in other words, like you've got fig leaves on, okay, Adam and Eve. You've got fig leaves on, and I've got skins for you. That's the work of the cross. Blood had to be shed for them to be clothed with skins. There's no doubt about that. So here comes God with the answer for Adam and Eve right away. So this is called glorious gospel. And yet, gospels that are out there, are they glorious or are they counterfeit? 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4 and 13 through 15, there are counterfeit gospels.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about that recently. Like only a real expert who knows a perfect $100 bill mm-hmm. is able to tell you what a counterfeit is.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have this perfect gospel. The person, this is the perfect glorious gospel. The person of Christ, the work of the cross. Anything other than that is counterfeit. It doesn't mean we don't love the people. We don't try to minister to them and lead them to the glorious gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to really understand the importance of bringing truth to people's lives. This is the person of Christ, and this is the work of the cross. This is really what is to be exalted. And what makes it glorious? Gospel. I love the name.
Which, I like what you said there about this interesting point you brought out that I haven't thought about in a deep way. Why is the gospel attacked? On the one hand, you could say there's spiritual warfare against the gospel to prevent its spread. But then you just said it very clearly. The gospel is being attacked, not so much because of the benefit of man, but to a greater degree because it's a direct assault on who Christ is and what God did. And every time there's any warfare against the gospel, it's a direct attack against God. If there's any blinding of the gospel, it's to hide God from people. It's to, if there's any counterfeiting of the gospel, it's to counterfeit an antichrist mentality, a fake Jesus with fake gospel because of a fake work.
And how about this? If a gospel is being preached that is not the person of Christ and the work of the cross, Satan doesn't need to attack it. He already owns it.
Wow.
You don't attack something you own. In other words, he has perpetrated a lie, so he's not going to attack it. Actually, he can get behind even giving it a satanic blessing. There could be things added to it, and they'll think, people will think, wow, look what's going on here. This must really be a spiritual church. Are you sure about that? If it's not the person of Christ, which, by the way, would reveal to us two things, his word and his grace. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he is full of grace and truth. So if a gospel is not the gospel of grace, and it's not the finished work, and it doesn't really elevate the Word of God, then really what is it? What can it be? It's a counterfeit. And people don't like – and I'm not walking around criticizing other churches. I don't know. That's between God and them and them and God. But the reality of the matter is if it's not the Word and it's not grace, it's not glorious. It's not the gospel. See, the gospel is good news.
Yes.
Is this good news? You got to do this to be saved. That's not good news.
Yeah.
All I have to do is what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Acts 16 even, you know. So really what we have is the enemy counterfeiting. And that's how the attack comes. It's not, sometimes it would seem like this is not really bad warfare. It's good warfare.
Right.
It's good warfare. It's not, it, you know, there are those other assaults, of course, that are wicked and evil. But there's, you know, coming close, but not having the, not getting the cookie. You come close.
Yeah.
You know, you're throwing darts and you miss just by a little bit, the main part of the target. But missing by a little bit is dangerous.
Isn't it interesting that the poison pill in a counterfeit gospel is man? You hit the nail right on the head. Satan diabolically decides, since the gospel is made for men, it's not made for animals, it's not made for anyone else, the gospel was made for man, I'm going to use man to counterfeit it by uplifting man in it, so that man, who was supposed to be the recipient of the gospel, becomes the glory of the gospel instead of God. And the next thing you know, what's supposed to benefit man actually attacks God and it blocks man from knowing who God is. It's diabolically genius.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, let's elevate man and humanize God.
Yes.
We know that God became a man. We're not talking about that. But making God like human, like God cannot exist without money. You know? And it's like elevating man and humanizing God. Look what man did. Man discovered this. Man went to the moon. Man went to the depths of the sea. Man can do this and man can do that. And it's all about man, and it humanizes God. There, it has to be. If you elevate man, you have to humanize God. There's no other way around it. So, and yet God did become a man. Perfect God while being perfect man. Perfect God, perfect man, the God-man. That's why it says in Philippians 2, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God. See, it doesn't eliminate the Father. But the Father didn't become a man. And the Spirit didn't become a man, although he lives in men today. But the elevation of the perfect person of Christ, who is was totally God, yet totally man. This incarnation is hated by the enemy.
Yes.
The incarnation is hated by the enemy. That's why, do you ever notice when people swear they don't say Buddha, damn it?
No.
They don't. You know, or when they're using vulgarity, they'll take the name of Jesus Christ in vain. You know, this is a satanic plot. Mm-hmm. And this is what's going on. He's the most attacked person in the history of humanity. Mm. There's no doubt about it. Think about it, that he's the God man. So the enemy is going to be always on the attack mm-hmm. against the perfect God who became the perfect man. Mm. And it's a mystery too. Some people, you know, it's amazing to me. Some people try to figure it out with their humanistic minds mm-hmm. as if they have that ability. You know what? I can't understand it. It's a mystery. Mm. I can just believe it.
Right.
God, perfect God, became perfect man. He was the God man. Uh-huh. And like, why do I have to explain it? I don't have to explain it. Some people think they have to go through
to capture it.
Yeah.
If I can define it,
yeah.
then I can control it.
I can capture
and
it.
And I can target it. I control the narrative for it. But I like what you said about when I replace the glory of God with the glory of man in the gospel, what happens mm-hmm. is I no longer have God's message. What I have is man's movement. And this is a day of movements. Mm-hmm. And to piggyback off our question online from Elizabeth about can the counterfeit look very close to the truth?
Sure.
This is the era of counterfeit. A friend of mine said to me in China that literally you can get 46 levels of counterfeit of almost anything. Just that each quality mm-hmm. is higher and higher in counterfeit, but it looks so much like the original, you could never tell the difference. And that's what Satan does. He brings a counterfeit right beside the truth, right butted up against it. And it looks so much like the truth that the very truth becomes optional because it's like, I can have this or I can have that. Yeah. You see it in the store, you'll see an off-brand or a department store brand that's the same quality, the same everything but the wrapper. And I'll just take the off-brand. And Christians settle for an off-brand gospel.
I mean, it's like, I know my mother's sauce. Anything other than that is counterfeit. I'm sorry to bring it so practical. My wife is close and even my daughter is good. Okay. But you know what? It's interesting because it's going to be close to the truth. And what we have is such an elevation of man in our society mm-hmm. today. And then when man fails miserably, there's all kinds of excuses to what has taken place. You know, there's all kinds of new ideas on why this has happened. Mm-hmm. When man has totally failed. Man can't even, you know, man can't even live. I mean, the average age of people when they go on is like 70 years old, 72. So really, we're so perfect, you can't even extend that, huh? You can't even get to 100, 120 or whatever. So man has so many devices, so many ideas, so many purposes, so many ways in which he is trying to elevate himself.
Well, let's say, for instance, that, I recognize in my own life that maybe the gospel's not a priority. Maybe that, and this goes back to your blinding. In one respect, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 talks about the blinding of unregenerate man. But I can be a believer and Satan could marginalize the value of the gospel. He could distract me from the gospel. Or sometimes we say things like, well, that's for someone else to do, or that's not my role in the church, mm-hmm. or that's not my gift, or, you know, it'll get done whether I do it or not anyway, but the gospel's not a big part of my Christianity. Is that not an attack?
Well, of course it's an attack because it's making people think that they don't have the responsibility of bringing the gospel. It's for somebody else. Mm. It's for the evangelist.
Yes.
It's for the people that are full-time employed, you know, whatever. And it is going to be up to people. I mean, we cannot force it to happen in people's lives. Mm-hmm. We can love people, proclaim it, and let them be led by God, however that may be. But you have a Christianity today that pays very little mind to the penetration of the gospel mm-hmm. into all the world. Let's talk not just about America. I mean, America has been a lot of evangelism. I don't know how much face-to-face has taken place. You know, there's been a lot of, we're talking about radio programs, but there's been a lot of media presentation.
Historically, yeah. Yes.
But what about people that really need to have somebody explain it face-to-face? And there are people in this country that's never happened.
Sure.
They've never experienced that. Now, let's take it to another realm. Let's take it to 1.2 billion people in China. Let's take it to 1.4 billion people in India and people that are around the world. Let's take it to Asia. Let's take it to Russia. Let's take it to different villages and places in South America. So the gospel, really, it's been presented certainly by media, and we can say that, but is that Is that what God wants? It doesn't say how beautiful are the televisions that preach the gospel. It says how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. And it's good. And this is, it's a part of it,
right?
But it can't be all inclusive. It can't be the only thing that takes place. Otherwise, I never have any responsibility to tell anyone about the gospel. Somebody preached the gospel to me in 1972. Mm-hmm. You know, I totally rejected it. I didn't even like it, and I didn't like the person that said it, and I got angry with them and whatnot, and then somebody came again a little bit later, 74, you know, and then finally I just said, you know what, I got to really look into this because maybe this is true, you know, and the preaching of the gospel. So
that's a heavy word, though, to interrupt you there. That's a heavy word, responsibility.
Yeah.
Believers don't like that word. If you tell me that my giving is a responsibility, my church attendance is a responsibility, when you tell me that living and speaking the gospel is a responsibility, that's a hard word in 2024.
How about breaking the word down? Respond to his ability.
Okay.
Respond to God's ability.
All right.
See, okay, it's not me responding to my ability, my responsibility. But number one, would we say it's God's responsibility to proclaim the gospel?
Yes.
Did Jesus do it?
He did.
Does the Bible talk about it?
It does.
Does the Bible do it?
It does.
Yes. Okay. So all I need to do is respond, be a receiver and respond to his ability. Mm-hmm. Then this will take place. Hmm. But if I'm trying to do this through my own effort, through my own means, through my own human ability, yes, frustration. Mm-hmm. Yes, opposition. Whatnot, you know, opposition everywhere. But look at a person, like, think about the story of Adoniram Judson, the first American missionary. He goes to Burma and no one has ever brought the gospel to Burma. He's the first one. And it went through like incredible trials and suffering. You know what? But the glorious gospel, they say that Judson's Bible is the Bible that's used today in Burma, the one he translated. So a whole country had an opportunity to have salvation because one person did it. And there's a lot of those one person things. Mary Slessor in Africa, you know, Stan Dale in South America. We have so many people that did that. And it wasn't like we have to have a lot of money. We have to have this massive movement, but individuals who have received the good news and have participated in the good news can go forward with a message that's good news to people. This is a gospel message. All we see on the news is bad news.
Yes.
You know, this is the good news. I got good news to tell you. I mean, and how it's brought forth. Now, with some people, they don't bring it forth. It's not good news. You have to do this to be saved.
Yeah.
That's not good news. Okay, you have to just receive his person, Jesus Christ, and what he's done. It's just receptivity. As many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe him. Okay, I'm going to be doing something this weekend in a certain city, and it's a face-to-face situation. A lot of unsaved people there. I'm just asking God, and I will have you pray on Saturday for this event, but that people would respond to his ability, respond to the good news, and to bring it forth as good news, and not to lay a trip on people about what they have to do to go to heaven. This is what Satan has done. Satan is the, by the way, let me say this, Satan is the author of religion. Remember what Jesus said to them in John chapter 8?
Yep.
Your father's the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He's saying that to religious Jews, to people. So all these religions that are propagated throughout the earth, they're not good news. They're not good news, you know? You've got to do everything it says in the Quran. You've got to do everything it says in the Bible even, you know? You got to do everything it says in this book or that book. Rather than you receive. See, Christianity is so different. It's receive and do. It's not do to get. See, here's the opposite of Christianity is you do something to get something. It's do so you can be given something. Christianity is you receive and then you do. It's so simple. It's so simple. Just read Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, one of the first statements that are made. You shall receive power.
Yes.
And then you'll be what? Witnesses. You don't start, I'll be a witness and I'll receive power. You receive power, then you'll be witnesses. And this is really what the gospel is all about, the glorious gospel. It's a receptivity to the person of Christ and the work of the cross, the finished work. That's what makes it glorious. If it's me and my works, not so glorious.
Yes.
Then all kinds of comparisons come in. all kinds of evaluations, all kinds of human analysis comes in, and it's not the glorious gospel.
Isn't that the attack, though, Pastor Billy? That's the attack. First, there's a misconception. There's a wrong perception of what is the gospel, what is Christianity, actually. So when a person comes towards me with the gospel, I have a presuppositional response like religion. All I see is religion. I don't see the person of Christ. I don't see the work of Christ. Mm-hmm. I see the organization of man.
Yeah. And that's the enemy's tool.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. That's where the enemy is at, to propagate man, to elevate man and humanize God.
And how do we combat that? What do you think about that? How do we combat that presuppositional,
well,
organized man-made movement?
I think, number one, the church and a Christian being filled with the Holy Spirit, filled and reflecting the person of Christ and proclaiming the work of the cross. We combat that with the gospel. Mm. Just because there are false gospels out there doesn't mean that that should hinder us from proclaiming the glorious gospel.
Amen.
We've got to do that. But our church is doing that? Is that what's taking place? Do we see a world still not evangelized after 2,000 years? Yes. We see places where people have not gone. People have not gone and penetration into places. And who do we want to blame for that? I'm not looking to put the blame on anybody, but I'm saying the enemy wants to hide it. Isn't that what we read?
Yes.
If your gospel will be hid, he wants to hide it. He hides it by elevating man and humanizing God. Mm-hmm. You know, he can hide it by bringing forth counterfeit false gospels. Mm-hmm. And this is so clear in 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4 and 13 through 15. And Paul says, don't marvel at this. Satan transforms himself as an angel of light. Mm. Angel of light. What is light? It's religion without Jesus Christ and the finished work. Mm-hmm. It's just some religious service that's taking place. So we have this great opportunity. Do we have anything up there that we need to read?
Not yet. Let me ask you this question, though. Let me throw this out there. I read something earlier this week. Is America the forgotten mission field?
Probably, because America's always seen as being the one responsible to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world, which it did, by the way. I mean, do you know that 90% of all mission money, this is not current, but this is something a number of years ago, 90% of all missionary money came from the United States, and 90% of all missions came from America. I know it started with England, started with the British Isles, but something happened. But it's very true that the majority of missions money and missionaries are from this country. Right now, I think Korea has gone way ahead of us. South Korea has I don't know how many thousands of missionaries. It was a massive amount, and their goal and their target is China, Japan, the Asia, and the Far East, and all that. Once we occupied that place, and I'm not saying we still do not, but we've got to get back to seeing the importance of churches evangelizing locally in their own country, in their own state, and then having a vision for the world. And there are people and there are great churches out there that are doing that. I remember I always talk about this church in the Midwest called Hurrah Baptist Church, which never had more than 100 people, but sent out like over 100 missionaries to many, many countries. So it's not about how big you are. Mm-hmm. It's about how big God is in the vision,
right?
And what God can do. There could be somebody sitting in the church and missions are never spoken of. It's never propagated. It's never given. And the person sitting there may have the great desire, so they end up moving on to something else.
Yes.
And by the way, isn't that why so many parachurch groups are doing much in the area of missions? It's really interesting. Why? Parachurch. They're alongside the church, but it's not the church. Because the church stopped doing it.
Yes.
And they wanted to continue to do it, so they formed they maybe had resistance even from within the church leadership about missions, you know? Imagine if we had resistance here in this congregation. We've had Pastor Stevens, Pastor Shallow. We've had men for years who have elevated the gospel. Mm-hmm. And by the way, is that sometimes at your own expense, you know?
Sure.
There's a lot of things that maybe I would have liked to have done in Christianity. And I said to myself one day, am I going to be just a Christian businessman for the rest of my life and getting money for the church? And I said, no. God's got something else.
Yeah.
God's got something else. But dangerous, detrimental to your health. Who cares? Really dangerous? What's the worst that can happen? You go to heaven? Somebody kills you and you go to heaven? Or you get sick and you die? So what? I mean, I know that sounds crazy. I don't care, though.
I want to come back to that thought, though. Being America being the forgotten mission field. I mean, even in the churches that are sending missionaries, they're always thinking foreign missions.
Yeah.
Missionary organizations, by and large, don't send large amounts of missionaries inside of America. It's unromantic,
sure.
Unattractive. It's poorly supported, and it's invisible because you're in your home country.
Well, they think sometimes because it's all over TV and the radio that it's not necessary to do that. But it's, you know, face to face is so key. We go out on evangelism,
yes,
with our high school and our students and our Bible school. And personally, on Saturdays every week and other times, we go out and we go face to face with people.
Yeah.
One on one, giving them a gospel tract. You say, that's very intimidating for me. Okay. Then come along and just watch somebody do it. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, you'll enter into it. But isn't this, have you read the gospel?
Mm.
Have you read Acts? Mm-hmm. What did they do in Acts? What did Philip do in Samaria? He preached the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
What took place in Acts 9, 10, and 11? What took place? Just read the Bible, read the book of Acts, and you'll see that they were face to face. What happens in Acts 3? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. He's face to face with a lame man, Peter. Okay? You say, well, at that time, they didn't have TV, radio, and all the technology. Okay, whatever. Come up with any excuse you want,
sure,
so you can avoid the gospel, you
yes
know? And this is the sad thing. It's a sad problem. And I'm not going to tell people the Bible says we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to like corner people and then attack them and say anything about them. I have to let them be led by God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's going on. Just because somebody maybe isn't on an actual church outreach doesn't mean they don't have opportunities and they use them,
yes,
to share the gospel. Doesn't mean you have to be on. Going on a church outreach is helpful because you're around a lot of people that are doing it, mm-hmm, and there's an anointing and there's power in the number of people, you know, that are doing it. But I really think it's very important that we have opportunities all during the week that we could hand somebody a gospel tract, speak to somebody. And that's very important. It could be in a grocery store. It could be, in a place where you're getting your car fixed and maybe they don't like what you're saying to them, so they don't really fix your car correctly or something like that.
Well, isn't that the great Christian myth that America is saved?
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's not a lot of evangelical movements in the church in America, that they don't come witness. It's so funny that I speak to Africa. They say to me, I want to come to America and be a missionary because I want to win Americans to Christ. And we're like, oh, how is that possible? You shouldn't come here because we give so much money. Let me pull a statistic from 2022. More money was spent on dog and cat food than was spent on missions giving. So as much as money is being given for missions, we're giving more to our pets than we are towards the gospel. So that should tell you something right there. And if you said to me, oh, Pastor Ronaldo, don't touch my pet, don't touch my parakeet, my dog, or my cat. Meanwhile, souls are going to heaven. I don't know. I'm just asking the question like, okay, it's a myth.
Yeah, it is.
Large portions of America are completely unsaved, yet exposed but not engaged and involved in the gospel. And I think that's a huge attack against the gospel in this country, is the myth that it's unnecessary. We have enough churches. We have enough Christians.
Right.
We've covered the country. Our politics alone should tell you that we don't have enough Christians in this country.
Absolutely.
The condition of our moral fiber in this country should tell you that we don't have enough Christians. So to walk with blinders on and say, well, I don't have to evangelize an American Christian because it's done, is just nonsense.
Do you think somebody could get up running for president or running for some office as a governor or something and say, like, it's very important, I got something to tell you, you must be born again? It's not going to happen.
You can barely get an athlete to pull that off, never mind a politician. Yeah, Are you kidding me?
It's amazing. But many, many years ago, that was very much a thing that would take place. People really were for the gospel. I'm talking maybe 50 years ago, 60 years
ago.
You got to go back for that. But yeah, today, and you do have some athletes that will talk about Christ. I've seen them.
Yep.
I've heard them, you know. But overall, and so what's taking place? And remember where you used to be able to have a Bible in a school?
Yep.
In public schools, they can't. I don't think they can even do that. Can they?
Well, they've opened some doors now for after-school Christian Sunday schoolish kind of programs. We have we participate in one here. Piero does with a few other people do. But overall, that was only because other religions got access in. So on their coattails, we kind of came back in the school because we got kicked out. I want to take this question, Pastor Billy, from the online. Knowing that faith comes by hearing the word of God, why didn't the U.S. evangelize in their own area first before going on the foreign mission field?
Well, I'm not so sure that they didn't.
Yeah,
I think there was a lot of missionary work done in the in America in the 1900s.
Yes.
And whatnot. So
75 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying that for sure that takes place. And I think if you read Acts 1:7-8, it says Jerusalem, Samaria,
Judea.
The othermost parts of the world, Judea, the othermost parts of the world. So I think both. I like the word both that's used in those verses, Acts 1:7-8, both.
Yes.
So you can't just forget about America at the expense of saying we're only going to concentrate on Asia or Africa. It's got to be both. It's got to be both because people are lost.
And has the church done that in your estimation? In your opinion?
I don't think so.
Okay.
How many churches would you think have a actual evangelistic outreach in their church that they actually go out and do that? I don't mean just giving somebody some lunch, you know, or whatnot. That's great. Thank you for doing that. But in other words, do they purposely knock on doors?
Few.
You know,
the answer is few.
Place.
I mean, the largest evangelical organizations as far as involved with the evangelism that's confrontational are the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the two.
Isn't that something, huh?
In America, right now, number two, those guys, and they've had that title for the last 25 years. That's not new.
I know that, like in a city in Massachusetts and then also in West Africa, we knocked on every single door in the city.
Okay.
And that could take 6-7 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, systematically. And we even did that here in Baltimore when mm-hmm. Pastor Stevens was here. And to knock on, say, like, let's have a target. We're going to knock on every single door in Baltimore. We could do this again. I mean, I'm going to talk about that one of these days. Let's do this again. Let's be responsible for going out and let's hit every single door that we can. And this is important because you're going to see people face to face where I can talk to a person. They can look into my eyes. I can see them. I can respond to maybe any questions they have. See, you can't ask questions to a television.
But this is a non-contact community now.
Yeah.
The world is now an environment where I have fellowship without contact. Everything can be
done. Answered,
you get doctor's advice online or on the phone. You can get psychological counseling now without any contact. And COVID exploded that distance and made it convenient and made it normal. Well, it normalized distance.
Let me ask you a question. Is Satan the person? He's an angel, not a person. So his major objective is to make Christianity impersonal.
Wow.
That's what he wants to do. And this is, you can see what's happening.
Where we are, we're here.
It's become so impersonal.
It's the age of impersonality where I have a lot of friends who I've never seen. We say, well, I've never seen that person before, but we're best friends. How? We talk online. Well, what relationship is that?
Yeah, it's something, but it's really as far as like, well, we got married online.
Well, it's a big thing. I mean, it's like,
is there any honeymoon? No, we had an online honeymoon.
We met online. Yeah. We dated online.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
The minister that came on and zoomed us in and did the marriage on Zoom and the reception was zoomed. It's quite interesting, Pastor Billy, that with this whole idea about the gospel, warfare against the gospel, one of it is the lack of necessity. There's a lack of a sense of urgency here and abroad. For sharing our faith with people. They're going to figure it out. God will find them, or there's a Bible, or they'll DIY, do it yourself, or, you know, it'll happen, and I don't have to be involved. It'll happen. It's really low on the totem pole for many Christians' walk of faith. Very low.
Well, no fervency, no urgency because of inadequacy.
Mm.
And they just look at themselves instead of looking at God. Is God adequate enough to bring the gospel into all the world?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Did he say we should do it? Absolutely. Just read Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, 21, Acts 1, 7, and 8, Acts 9, 10, and 11, 13 through 20. I mean, come on, just read the Bible. We see them going, And by the way, it's when the Bible doesn't say go into all the world, It says going.
Yes.
It's in an imperative. It's an imperative continual tense, mm-hmm. going. That this doesn't stop. And I think this is so key, you know. Well, I told my wife what I want. I said if I pass someday, and we all will, that I want you to put a sign if I have a wake. And I want on the sign to say, like, why are you looking at me? Go preach the gospel.
I'm going to walk right past that and ask you this question. So what are some ways I can combat spiritual warfare towards the gospel, me personally?
Well, it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. Mm-hmm. Am I going to believe what the Bible says? Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Do I believe what 2 Timothy chapter 4 is talking about? Mm-hmm. Do I believe these great commissions that are given? Mm-hmm. Do I believe in Luke chapter 10, he sent 70 out?
Yes.
Do I believe that in John chapter 4, he was witnessing Jesus Christ did this? Jesus Christ, it says, came to do what? Seek and save that which is lost. Mm. That's why he came. If I don't believe that, I can kind of like, you know, filter it my own way or bring my own definition to it, mm-hmm. you know. But in other words, do I believe? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And this is the key. So do I believe? Number one, do I read my Bible?
Okay.
Or number two, do I avoid areas that I struggle with living in? Mm-hmm. Some people just avoid certain parts of the Bible, you know?
Sure.
Totally. So do I just skip over them or treat them as really not that important mm-hmm. in my walk with God? And by the way, if the pulpit is not bringing forth the message of the gospel mm-hmm. and the importance of reaching people in our Jerusalem and onward, then of course, then there's going to be individuals, right. you know, individuals within the congregation that still have a responsibility to take up the vision. Mm. And just because a pulpit is not doing that, I mean, it's very important that a pulpit should do that, and that certainly helps with evangelizing and winning lost with the gospel. But even if it doesn't happen, I was in the church, it wasn't happening, but I was doing it anyway. Mm. And then I was encouraging others to come along, mm-hmm. too. So we can't get away from the fact that it's our responsibility mm-hmm. to respond to his ability. And there is a gospel, and there is good news. And what are we here for anyway? I'm kind of like trying to figure that out. How come when we got saved, we didn't just go right to heaven? Mm-hmm. I mean, God could have done that. Got saved and went to heaven. No, we are here to give people a message. Mm. How important that is. What's the most important thing you can do on planet Earth? Think about this verse. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and mm-hmm. lose his soul? So God sees one soul more important than everything the whole world has to offer. Mm. Do I believe that?
Eternal value system.
There's the question. Do I believe that?
Tonight, Friday,
yes.
6:30, 6025 Moravia Park
Glorious
Drive.
Glorious Gospel.
Part two from today's Grace Hour. Part two on the Glorious Gospel. What does that mean for me and my family in 2024? Pastor Belli is teaching at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Come on down. We'd love to have
you. Come on down.
And we have services this weekend. Sunday, we have services at 9, 11, and 6:30. We'd love to have you come by and visit us again at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Don't forget to schedule us in your podcast. Register for which podcast you save us too. We'd love to remind you to be with us and join us here for the Grace Hour. See you next week. God bless you.
Amen.